This is Kirsty Allsop.
And I'm Dr. Sam Godfrey. This is Stand Up to Cancer, the podcast. One in two of us will be diagnosed with cancer. And that's why it's important that we all understand the science of cancer. As they say of all great battles, you must know your enemy before you can defeat them. Today's episode takes us to a well-known fictional suburb in Chester.
Look, I'm sorry, you're not instilling me with much confidence. I just need to hear that the next treatment will work.
I can't give you any guarantees. I'm sorry.
This is Stand Up to Cancer, the podcast.
Sam, have you been watching Hollyoaks?
I have.
Jade and Alfie, heartbreaking.
This is a storyline that Stand Up to Cancer's been developing with Hollyoaks, where we've got these two teenagers, Jade Albright and Alfie Nightingale, and both of them were diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma.
I'm afraid it is bad news. I'm so sorry. The result of the biopsy came back and it is positive. The Hodgkin's lymphoma's returned.
What if I totally bottle it?
You won't. Whatever's coming today, we'll get through it. Together.
Now, this is quite an aggressive cancer, but it's also quite rare in teenagers. It seems to affect young adults the most. We probably see about 1,900 cases a year in the UK. And so this Hollyoaks storyline may make it seem like it's a little bit more common than it actually is.
It has been a really harrowing journey for them. Jay's chemotherapy has worked, Alfie's hasn't. It's quite a hard look at how cancer affects people differently.
And that's one of the key things about cancer, because no two cancers are the same. And so we wanted to work with Channel 4 and help the Hollyoaks producers explore how the same condition can affect two people in totally different ways, both physically and also in how they cope with the news.
Well, the podcast team's been talking to the actors who play Jade Albright and Alfie Nightingale, Cassius Nelson and Richard Linnell.
Hello, my name is Cassius Nelson and I play Jade in Hollyoaks.
This is the only thing stopping me from thinking about stupid chemo or scans or burns.
Hi, my name is Richard Linnell and I play Alfie Nightingale in Hollyoaks.
What am I out?
Well, we don't like to use those terms, not at this stage.
It was 50%. 50% chance of survival. Is it still that? It's not, is it?
I don't think this is helping.
My granddad, unfortunately, he suffered with cancer, so it's a very personal thing for me. But at the same time, I've witnessed the amazing work that Stand Up to Cancer does, so it's just a fantastic thing to be part of, and I'm so grateful to be part of it.
I'm supporting Stand Up to Cancer because, like Cassius, I lost my granddad to cancer, lost him at quite a young age, and also the fact that it affects so many people of so many ages, it's the complete leveller. It doesn't care who you are. So it's important that we tackle that issue and make sure that we can stop it destroying people's lives. Even if we can't cure it now, we can help to cure it later.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Storyline that happens in the show that's something of this kind of nature, you have a workshop just to get background information and just the basics. So I know both myself and Richard went away and did our own research and googled everything in the type of cancer, which is Hodgkin's lymphoma. We googled that and found out our own kind of basic Google knowledge on it, right? Then we went on to Christie's and we were so lucky that they would let us in, just have a walk around the ward, look at where young people would be when they were being diagnosed, when they were being treated for cancer and different types of chemo that they would have.
The teenage ward particularly, because that's a relatively new thing and for Christie's as well. It's a ward that's been designed for teenagers because, as we both know, it's an awkward age where you need social interaction with your own age group. So it's very important for those kids while they're going through it to be amongst people their own age and to be able to interact with them. And it's a beautiful, beautiful building that they set up. And they've got all kinds of different things to keep them occupied and make sure that their lives continue as relatively as normal as possible. They've got games rooms with kind of like a pool table, places to chat and talk.
Music room.
Music room with, oh my goodness, they have guitars and piano, brand new piano was sat in there. It was beautiful, the stuff that these kids have to use to make sure that their time in the hospital doesn't, you know, feel like a hospital. It's just part of their life.
I think they did so well to make young people feel so at home in that space.
How involved was Stand Up to Cancer in the storyline?
Pretty heavily, actually. We gave the actors and producers access to our scientists, We talk them through how treatments for Hodgkin lymphoma works and its effects.
We've been looking at the Manchester Research Facility for Cancer. We've been visiting both the wards and the labs. So in the wards, we've been seeing all the facilities that they've got for particularly the young adults that are suffering from cancer. And in the labs, you've got all of the scientists actually doing the research and seeing the steps that they're taking to find new drugs and what particular combination of drugs will most effectively target cancer. So it's incredible to watch literally those discoveries being made in front of you.
Professor Graham Anderson is from the University of Birmingham.
My major interest has always been immunology, to understand how the immune system fights off infection, you know, day in, day out. That kind of started from a very early career stage with me and carrying on here doing a PhD and then developing my own lab to understand how T cells develop.
When treating Hodgkin lymphoma, if the first round of treatment doesn't work, one of the best ways we've got of treating it is with stem cell transplants. And Graham's research into immunology is looking to boost the chances of their success.
So T cells are a type of white blood cell. Not only do they fight infections like viruses and bacteria and so on, but they also help other white blood cells make antibodies. So you can imagine, you know, if the immune system is a battlefield, you know, T cells are the generals. They kind of work out who should be doing what, and they control so much of our immune system, you really can't do without them. And what appealed to me in the first place is that there's only one part of the body that they form in. It's an organ which is called the thymus. And the thymus kind of sits in the chest just above the heart. So in terms of the project, we've been interested in understanding what controls stem cell entry into the thymus.
When treating cancer with radiotherapy or chemotherapy, sometimes you can get destruction of the immune system. And if that happens, doctors tend to give a stem cell transplant where they give you these new cells, these new starter cells that can boost and rejuvenate the immune system. But unfortunately, the very last of the cell to wake up and become active are these T cells, the bacteria-fighting cells in our body. And because they're a little bit sluggish, they don't quite manage to get into the thymus.
What's really interesting about the thymus is the older you are, the smaller it gets. When you're a teenager, your thymus is probably at its maximum size. So after that, it's all downhill. By the time you're kind of 40, 50 or whatever, your thymus is very small and actually making very few new T cells. And that's one of the problems with bone marrow transplantation, because if you try and look at bone marrow transplantation success in elderly people, recovery of T cells is a real problem because the thymus is smaller.
So in Alfie's case, when he has his stem cell transplant, because he's much younger and his thymus is bigger, the T cells are able to get in there easier and rejuvenate and really get firing.
The project is kind of two aspects, really. First of all, we identified a molecule which we know now is important in allowing cells to get into the thymus. So that was part one. And then the second part was to say, right, okay, is this now a target to improve entry to the thymus following bone marrow transplantation? Because those two parts are subtly different. The first part is looking at how does it do it normally? And the second part is, well, can we exploit that to use it as a potential therapy? You don't have to have something as devastating as cancer to realize that you need your immune system there all of the time. And I think understanding how it comes to be in the first place and what maintains that level of immune system function is really important, yeah.
And that's the end goal that keeps Graham and his colleagues, also involved in Stand Up To Cancer, focused on their work.
I guess I don't think I quite anticipated how much the viewers would really enjoy it and really like Jade's character and Alfie's character separately and how they would like them equally when they were together. And I don't think I realised how big and important it would be to some people.
I mean, we've been doing this storyline for nearly 9 months now, I think. Mm-hmm. Over 9 months, you can really develop a character and go through every single part of the journey through cancer. You can see the different stages and the ups and the downs, and you can really focus on all of them, as we've had so much time to play with the characters.
They can apply different types of makeup, which is incredible how they do it, to make you look like as if you've lost weight and you're ill and your skin's changed colour and texture, and then when her hair starts to grow back, and it does make you feel different when you see yourself like that.
I'm afraid it's not the news we were hoping for. Jade's cancer has returned.
So what now? What are the options?
Well, we'll put Jade on an aggressive course of chemotherapy, but first we need to harvest some stem cells, which I can schedule for later this morning if Jade's agreeable.
I know me and Richard plenty of times that it hasn't been scripted that we've had to cry, but we've been so involved and attached to what's being said that we have
just ended up crying.
And it is, in a weird way, it's a nice release.
Being in that kind of mental state of incredibly emotional for multiple hours really takes its toll, which helps with the characterization definitely because of the just the physical toll chemo it takes on you, the tiredness that you feel. You know, people messaging you online telling you firsthand how much the storyline has affected them and how thankful they are about it. And it hits home that it's really real and it's people.
Yeah.
That can kind of be quite harrowing.
So the chances of actually dying while skydiving are, what, 0.00018%. I'll take those odds over cancer any day of the week.
Safe. Falling 15,000 feet at terminal velocity, which is about 120 miles an hour. How is that safe?
So have you heard how much the sponsors have donated to Stand Up To Cancer? Just for me doing the skydive.
We also introduced Cassius and Richard to two young women who've been treated for the condition.
They kind of spoke about their story, and that really helped to get the small, intricate details, like the tips of your fingers would become quite numb after chemo. You'd get chemo brain to be able to concentrate properly. So that was just nice because myself and Richard could layer that and work that into the scenes, which was just to add some more detail and some reality.
One of those ladies was Francesca Wheatley.
So they wanted to get this as factually correct as possible, and that to me was a big, big thing. I watched Hollyoaks anyway, but it drew me in a lot more because I had a lot more respect for the show, for the fact that they cared for real life stories.
Francesca was just 14 years old when she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma.
I've always heard the word cancer and thought it meant death, and I was pretty much thinking that was my prognosis.
However, her journey from symptoms to diagnosis was not as straightforward as it seems.
I'd fainted a few times at school. I'd had a really bad backache. I'd lost an incredible amount of weight. They weren't sure if I had TB or what was going on, and I was being tested for everything under the sun. The big thing that sent me to the doctors was I had a lump under my arm and it was quite painful. And my mum sort of monitored it, and after a week or so she was like, I'm not happy about this, we'll go and get checked out. You're hearing all these words flying about and you're starting to pick up that it's something quite serious. They were saying things like fluid around your heart, so I'm starting to think, well, I've got a heart problem. The best that never really clicked was we were on an oncology ward. But at the age of 14, I didn't realise that oncology meant cancer.
Fortunately, Francesca's cancer was treatable, but that doesn't make it any easier to deal with.
So I had 6 months of chemotherapy, followed by 8 weeks of radiotherapy. I gained a lot of weight, I lost my hair, I got like rash all over my face. But I carried on going to school, which was, looking back, probably a bit foolish in some ways, but I wasn't prepared to be any different to my peers. That's why I was adamant to stay in the same year group. Part of it was also a distraction. So rather than worrying about the cancer, I worried about my exams and things. That was hard, but I think I just had to keep that positive mental attitude.
Francesca was a huge help to us in Hollyoaks, and it seems to have been a really big success.
I think the way that Hollyoaks have done Jade and Alfie's storyline's been great. That connection that they've had from both having cancer is one that many of us have had ourselves, and comes back to that support mechanism. You want to remain strong for everybody else.
If I die, tell Nathan he gets custody of Barry, and James is not allowed my telescope. It is a proper scientific instrument, not for stalking or spying.
Alfie, chill out.
We've had loads of newspaper and magazine coverage, and if you look on social networks, it's become a real talking point.
An amazing feeling to have that you can help people you've never met.
Stand Up To Cancer's really happy with the way this story's been told.
Even if one person sees it and thinks they've got this niggle and they go and get it checked out, then it could be one life that's been saved.
Next time on Stand Up To Cancer, the podcast, Kirsty shares her story.
I just thought, you know what? I'm going to have a mammogram every year. I'm going to have an ultrasound every year. I'm going to test every single month, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
And we'll also be discussing the science of inherited breast cancer. For too long, cancer's been fighting dirty. It's been targeting grannies, going after kids, and coming back for the same people over and over again, even taking cheap shots at our breasts and testicles. It's got to the point where one in two of us will be diagnosed with cancer, and that totally sucks.
Now is our time to act. To say F that. Time to use whatever means necessary, no matter how ridiculous, to lay the smackdown on cancer.
to help fund the rebellion against cancer, text AUDIO to 70404 right now to give £5 plus one standard message rate. 16 plus only, and you must have the bill payer's permission. It closes on the 31st of March 2017. Full T's and C's are available at sutc.org.uk/terms. 100% of your donation will go to Cancer Research UK in support of the Stand Up to Cancer campaign. Stand Up to Cancer and the Stand Up to Cancer brand marks are registered trademarks or trademarks of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Cancer Research UK is a registered charity in England and Wales, Scotland, and the Isle of Man.